We've got a good crowd here this morning, and we're glad to see everybody. We want to present a lesson this morning, which is the first of several, which will be taking place over the next few months. And it's, what is the Church of Christ? And we're going to have to look at this, and for some of you, this might be old material. But in Philippians 3, verse 1, Paul says, "It is no problem for me to remind you of these things, because it is your safeguard." Peter told the people he was writing to, "I write these things as a remembrance for you." And so we need to go through every now and then and ask this question. It's a very good question and an important question. What is the Church of Christ? And how do we answer? Well, there's different ways of looking at it, and there's many ways to view the answer to the question. The world's view. The world just looks out, and they go around, they see all these places that some people practice their religion at. And they have no time for religion, they don't care about religion, so they just see a bunch of places of religion. And that's the world's view of the church. The denominational view, of course, we have all these different groups. We have different groups by different names. And they all think that they are part of the great body of Christ. But when we look at the evidence, when we look at what the scriptures actually say, we find out they are not. They are divided from Christ. They are separated from Christ. And so there's a denominational view when we talk about the Church of Christ. Well, they're just another one of all of us. And that's how many of them feel. They are just another one. They're just as good as any others, whatever name you want to use. They're just as good as anybody else. So that's the denominational view. And then there's the internal view from our own members. And this is where we need to make sure we really understand what the Church of Christ is. Because some of our members probably think of the church in the denominational concept. Well, we're just like everybody else. I just like the people here, so that's why I'm here. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. And so they really don't know the difference between, and they could not explain the difference between the Church of Christ and some other group. And let's face it, a lot of us, there's so many of them out there, we may not be fully aware of what all the differences are. But if we are convinced of what our religion is, if we're convinced of what our faith is, if we're convinced that the Word of God is being practiced at this location, then we need to know that this is a Church of Christ. But this morning, we're going to look at it from the biblical view. And that's very important, because the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is truth. And so that's where it is. The sum of thy word is truth, as we read there in Psalm 119, verse 89. And all the word is truth. And so we need to explain this view, and to explain it in such a way that we can understand it. So we're not going to zip through this. We're going to take our time. We're just going to look at one aspect of it this morning, and then in a later time we'll look at another aspect. The biblical view, talking about what is the Church of Christ. All right, there is the Church of Christ in the universal sense, and there's also the Church of Christ in the local sense, the local church sense. And we need to know the difference. We need to understand the difference. And they're both described in the Bible. In fact, we should be members of both of these. They're not different groups in one sense, but yet in another sense, they are different. So we need to be not only in the universal church, but we also need to be in a local church. If we are going to fulfill our Christian duties, that's what we need to do. So this morning, we're going to look at the church from the universal sense. And the universal basically means the whole thing. And that's what it's all about. And it look at this. It's composed of all Christians. There's something about the church that we need to understand. Yes, it's made up of Christians. It's not a collection of congregations. It is not a collection of different faiths. You know, these people out there in the denominational world, they think, well, we're all the same. We're just going in different pathways. How can that be when they teach different doctrines, when they have different practices and do different things and call themselves by different names? I mean, it's confusing to the world. They don't understand it. So we didn't understand what the true church is as opposed to the false church. So the universal church is made up of Christians, individuals who have been saved. And so the church to which Jesus referred to when he says, upon this foundation, and the foundation Jesus was talking about, when he says, upon this rock I will build my church, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. And Jesus answered, you're correct, Peter, upon this rock. What this, in the context, this, that fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the foundation upon which Jesus said, I will build my church. And then it's made up of all the saved, both the living and the dead. If we were to read Hebrews 12, 22 through 24, he makes this declaration to the general assembly and church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. That's who he was writing to. These people, not only they're the general assembly, in other words, general or universal assembly, which composes all Christians, and the church of the firstborn, all Christians, that they are members of this church, and of course, Jesus is the firstborn. That is he's making reference to. Their names are enrolled in heaven, as opposed to a local church where we have a directory with all of our names in it. And that's the directory of the Newark Church of Christ. But the enrollment of all Christians is kept in heaven. There is no place on earth that writes down all of them. You can't compile all the congregations and put all the names in and say, well, this is the church. No, it doesn't work that way. There is just one. Now, this is hard to explain to those who have the worldview and the denominational view. There is only one Church of Christ. You know, all those people out there who are practicing different doctrines and teaching different things, they think they're all part of the same grand body, but they are not. There is only one Church of Christ, and it would do us good to make sure we're a part of that church. See, the universal church is called the body of Christ. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. Now, you know, a lot of times when there's he and him and all this stuff, you might get a little confused. So I just put the parenthesis there. God put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet. And gave Jesus as head over all things to the church. Jesus is the head of the church, which it's repeated many times in the scriptures. He's the head. The head directs the rest of the body. Paul used the analogy in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the body having many members, but there is only one head, and that head is Christ. Christ makes the rules. Man does not make the rules. Man, in their infinite wisdom, they get in conferences and decide what we're going to believe. We're going to vote on what we want to believe and what we're going to practice, whereas Jesus has already told us what we're supposed to do. Jesus has told us what we're supposed to do in our worship. Jesus has told us what we're supposed to do in our daily living. And we need to be doing those things because he makes the rules. He is the head of the church, and it's not some human governing body that makes the rules. It is Christ, and he has been kind enough to instruct the Holy Spirit to direct men to give us the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. This is the message of the Christ that we need to understand. So we need to have a good knowledge of our Bibles. We need to know our Bibles very well. Next Sunday morning, we have a sermon called Knowing Your Bible from Cover to Cover. We need to do that. How many of you can honestly say, I know the Bible from cover to cover? Any hands want to show up? Say, I know it that well? Anybody? Okay. Then you better be here. All right. Because we're going to learn what it's going to take. All right. There is only one body. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body is what he says. And so there is only one church, because the church is the body. We have the scriptures that tell us that, and we'll look at those. And so it began on the day of Pentecost. When you look at all these denominations out there, you can go to their history. You can go to Wikipedia on the computer. When did this church start? And it'll give you a date. When did this church start? It'll give you a date. And so forth. When we go and do exactly what the scriptures teach, the origin of us is all the way back on the day of Pentecost. That's where it starts. It began in Jerusalem, according to scripture, in Jerusalem following the death, resurrection, and the ascension of Christ, as we read there in Acts 2. Actually, you read in the back of the gospel accounts and the Acts chapter 1, you find all this stuff taking place. And then that day, Acts chapter 2, was the beginning of the church. The disciples had waited and tarried in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came with power. That opened up an opportunity because there was a lot of people there. They wanted to see what was going on. They heard this great noise. And then Peter took that occasion and got up and said, "Men and brethren, everybody listen to us. We have something to tell you." And that was the beginning of the church. Like I said, it's the fulfillment of prophecy. Daniel chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 2, Micah chapter 2, Joel chapter 2. All of those talking about the church. And how it's going to be. Where it would start. It would start there in Jerusalem. And go to all Judea and Samaria. And the utmost part of the earth. So as Peter later referred to this day. The day of Pentecost. He called it the beginning. Peter went to the house of Cornelius. A Jew went to the house of a Gentile. And proclaimed the gospel to him. And Peter was kind of explaining that what was going on, some of the events took place, was like at the beginning. He wasn't talking about in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He was talking about the day of Pentecost. Those events that took place through the workings of the Holy Spirit. And so it was referred to as the beginning of the church. Now the church had been planned many years before. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 tells us the fact that it was planned before the foundation of the world. So yes, this has been in the mind of God all along. When he created this earth, before he created this earth, it was already in the mind of God what would be the church. One can enter only by being added by the Lord. See, one cannot join the church by their own volition. You know, we hear it said, we see the phrase, join the church of your choice, worship at the church of your choice. See, they do this when they have these great big, you know, became popular with the Billy Graham Crusades. He was up there, you can be saved, now go join the church of your choice. And we've talked about that. We've had sermons about it. Should we do the choice of our choice or God's choice? We should be joining and associating ourselves with the church of God's choice. And so it should be that way. And we do not have a choice if we are to be right before God. See, that's the thing. It's not really a choice that we're making. Because we are added. In Acts 2:41, there were added to them about 3,000 souls. In verse 47, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The ones being saved are the ones added to the church. When we start talking about the local church, yeah, we join a local church. But we do not join the universal church. God adds us to that church. And the Lord keeps the books of membership. See, our books, our directories, our membership roles, these are put together by humans, and we like to think that we're all faithful, but yet reality tells us there's a few that aren't faithful. You know, we have some names in our books that we haven't seen in years, or months, or weeks. I mean, is that really faithful? So, yeah, there's some flaws. We have human flaws. And so, that happens. But when it comes to the universal church, the Lord keeps the books of his membership. See, there's no agency on earth that keeps the registry of true members. Now, you can go to certain places in this world and you can find the registry of those in different groups, because they keep records of that. You know, if you ever go to the internet and look at a lot of these things, you'll find numbers. How many members are this? And most of them have specific numbers listed down. Like in the United States, there's like 2,386,427 members. And they do that. When you look at Church of Christ, there's a little asterisk there. It says, this is just an estimate. Because we don't keep the numbers. We don't do that. And we don't publish the numbers. Or we don't publish the names and things like that. On a local level, yes, we do. But not universally. You don't know the people in Houston, Texas. You don't know the brothers there. And so you don't need that information. But God knows that information. See, the enrollment in heaven, as we mentioned from Hebrews 12:23, those who are enrolled in heaven. That's where our enrollment is. That's where it needs to be. And the Lord knows those who are his. How many times have we heard that? Several times in the Psalms, the Lord knows those who are his. And even in the New Testament, it was repeated over and over. The Lord knows who's his. Those people who are faithful and true. There's a lot of people out there telling the rest of us, hey, I'm a Christian, but yet they don't live like it. We might be fooled because we only see them one day a week, maybe 2 days a week. We might be fooled, but God keeps the records, and he knows who is his. The Lord knows those who are his. Never forget that. And the church consists of all the saved, not some of them, but all of them. Now the Lord is presenting to himself a church, holy and without blemish. We read there in Ephesians 5:25-27. This is the bride of Christ that he is going to present to the Father, saying, this is my bride. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talks about then comes the end when the Lord will give it all back. See, the Lord has been given all authority to all things concerning the church. Where is the church? It's on the earth. It's here. It's in history. But when the end comes, when God the Father, which Jesus doesn't know when it's going to be, God the Father only knows when the end of the earth is coming. When that day comes, then Jesus is going to give the church to the Father. These are the ones who are going to be said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Those not in the church will be told, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those in the church, and this has to be local churches, those people in the church who are sinning and refuse to repent are cut off. They're talked about. And he's not going to have anything to do with it. You remember the parable of the tares in Matthew chapter 13. He's talking about the fact that the master went out and planted good seed, and then the enemy came by night and planted the tares, the bad seed. And they started coming up, and it wasn't until they're about to start producing their vegetation, the workers looked, hey, wait a minute, we got some garbage in here. We've got some bad stuff. And so you want us to weed it out now? No, no, no. Don't do it. You'll hurt the others. We'll just separate it in the end. And that's what they did. When harvest time came, he kept the good ones, and the rest went into the fire. Now that's an analogy that really is important. Those who are good and righteous are going into heaven. Those who are not will be cast into the fiery torment of hell. So, these people who repent, who refuse to repent, are cut off. Their name may still be on the membership roll. And they may think, well, I'm a member of this church, and so I'm going to heaven, like all the other members are. There's a deception there that's taking place. And it's not reality. Paul says these people are to be cast out. And of course, those who are openly sinning, we have that. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was one who was openly sinning. Paul says, you need to get rid of this person. It's going to destroy us all. And remember what Jesus said about the leaven. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so whenever there is sin, there's a problem. In the Old Testament, when there was sin in the camp, see, when they suffered the battle at Ai, they suffered loss. What happened? God simply said, there is sin in the camp. Uh-oh. So they had to find out who it was. And out of all those hundreds of thousands of warriors, one person had the sin. They rushed upon the spoils of Jericho. Achan did so. He finally came out, well, I've been outed, so I'll confess it. Not only was Achan put to death, his family was put to death, his cattle was put to death, all of his possessions were burned up. God cannot tolerate any sin in the camp. Unlike in the local church, sometimes we do tolerate it, and we shouldn't. Remember those who didn't do right? He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. I would rather you're hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. We've got a sermon coming up about that. And it's going to be talking about those people who are lukewarm and what they do, or more importantly, what they don't do. In order to be saved, we have to be in this church. You cannot be saved outside of the church. All right, now are there any exceptions to that? Okay, infants, young children who don't understand and comprehend these things, people with mental conditions who don't understand it, okay, they're exempt. We understand that. But most people who make any arguments, they're sound thinking. Their thinking may not be very sound according to our reasoning, but they make these judgments. In order to be saved, in other words, in order to get to heaven, you must be in this church. For the Lord is the Savior of the body, which is His church, Ephesians 5:23. And since the Lord adds one to His church when they are saved, one cannot be saved and not be in the church, universal. Think about that. If you're not in the church, you can't be saved, because you're automatically put in the church when you are saved. Saved from your sins. Now, after you're saved from your sins, after you've been baptized according to the gospel, then you have a responsibility to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, and to become a better Christian, and to work towards these things, and to avoid future sin. Now, this church has no earthly organization. Like I say, a lot of groups out there, they have their headquarters somewhere. It's either in Virginia or California or Texas or somewhere. There's an earthly organization headquarters for practically every one of them, except the Church of Christ. And I can say this, there are some trying to work towards that goal. There are some people in the Church of Christ who are working to make the church nothing more than a denomination equal to all the other denominations. There's those type of people. That's an element that's within the church. We have to be watchful for that and make sure it doesn't happen here at this location. So the Church Universal has organization. Christ is the head. You don't need any more organization. That's it. Christ is the head. We're the members. Our job is to do what Christ says. It's a monarchy. He is the king. He speaks. His subjects react and do. That's what we're supposed to do. So there is organization in that sense. And that's the extent of it. And whatever organization there is spiritual in nature. Now in the world, when they have organization, it's all physical. Look at some of the church. You know, the Catholic Church, they have their Pope, and then their cardinals, and then their archbishops, and then their bishops, and then their director, whatever you call them. They have all these different lines of succession of and different orders and things like that. And you open up your Bible, you don't read any of those things. You do see the word bishop. We'll talk about that in just a second. See, Christ is the cornerstone. And that's what he said. That's what he said. The one that the builders rejected, he became the very cornerstone according to prophecy. The people rejected Christ, and Christ established his church. He became the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the most important stone of the foundation. And then it says that together with his apostles and prophets as the foundation, the church is built upon Christ and the apostles' doctrine. And then all of us as Christians, as Peter says, we're being built up as living stones to make up this church. So there is no earthly headquarters for the church. There's no telephone number to call and speak with the head of the church. You cannot do it. For the head and his headquarters are in heaven. This church cannot be divided. Now you say, wait a minute, I've seen a lot of division. Okay, individually, locally, yes, it can be. But this church cannot. Because Jesus said that it wouldn't happen. There is no earthly organization to divide. If division appears to exist, there's some unscriptural organization of churches must have been created. In other words, they must have set up a group. And it appears that way because there's a bunch of group that start. It actually started as the Crossroads Movement. Then it was the Boston Movement. Then it was, they called themselves the Universal Church of Christ. They're a cult. They're not the true Church of Christ. But yet they wear that name. There's a group out there called United Church of Christ. And we've heard about that. But you know what? If you go and look at their website and look, see what they're all about. They're not talking. They don't care about Jesus or God. We don't. They say, we don't care if you're Muslim or if you're Christian or if you're atheist. We'll accept you. All you have to do is follow our agenda. And depending on where they are, they might have different agendas. There's agendas to promote the lesbian gay group. There's agendas to promote the black group. There's agendas to promote the Muslim caliphate. Things like that. So an organization created by men had to be there in order to split this up. And those kind of organizations can cause and have division, but not the Lord's church. The true church. Those who would seek to divide the church through doctrine and conduct are simply cut off by the Lord himself. When they introduce false doctrine into their local churches, they're cut off. Jesus is going to cut them off. There is and always will be one body. And we need to make sure we are remaining faithful in it. Now, death doesn't affect membership. Let that sink in for a second. See, the church universal is made up of the saved, both living and dead. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. If you are faithful to the Lord when you die, you're still part of his body. See, if faithful when one dies, they are still with Christ. That's what Paul said, Philippians 1, 21 through 23. For me to live as Christ, die as gain, I'd much rather die and be with my Lord. But until such time, I've got work to do. I've got fruitful labor. So yes, we're still with Christ. Christ has his own. He hangs on to his own. When Lazarus died in Luke 16, he went to Abraham's bosom. He went to a place of comfort. All those who are faithful, when they die, will go to that same place of comfort until such time as the Lord destroys it all. Then they'll all stand before God. The ones on the right will be told, "Enter thou in, good and faithful servant." And the church really doesn't have one official name. It really doesn't. There's no one exclusive name or term is used to describe the universal church. It's the church of God. You look at it from the biblical view, it is called different things. Church of God, the body of God, kingdom of God, and it just goes on. Abraham's seed, the house of Israel. I mean, there's different names that are used in the scriptures to describe this universal body. And we see that in all these passages, all these different types of names. And it has different descriptions about it. But we choose to keep the name Church of Christ as we recognize this is who it belongs to. It belongs to Christ. He established it. He built it. He died for it. He purchased it with his blood. He put his name on it. He put all the people are married to Christ in a symbolic sense, in a spiritual sense. We're all married to Christ, and it belongs to him. So why not call it the Church of Christ? There's people out there going to scream and holler about, well, Church of Christ does not appear in the scriptures. Well, we can go to Romans 16, the churches of Christ, which Paul was describing different congregations, different groups, saying they salute you. But people are still going to argue about the fact, well, the church of Christ is not ever mentioned anywhere in the Bible. But ask them where they go to church. See, when I had this argument with a person, he said, "I go to the 4-star cowboy church." Imagine that. And he's arguing. See, we talked this morning about the universal church. Very simple, very plain to understand. For some of us, we probably need this information. For others of us, it is just a reminder of some of the things we should know already. But as Christians, we should be able to articulate the difference. All right, later on, we're going to look at the local church. And we're going to use kind of like the same format, talk about some of the same things, but show the difference between the local church and the universal church. So following that, we're going to look at some myths about denominationalism that we must correct in the minds of people today. And you know, really, it's a very good possibility that some people in this room do not know the Church of Christ as the others know it. They think this is just another denomination, and it'd be no different if I went on down the street to that next building down there and worshiped with them. I'd be doing the same thing. Or all over this town. There are some people don't know that the Church of Christ is unique. It is a one of a kind. And there is no other that even compares. And when it comes to the recognition by God, God only recognizes one church. How do we find that one church? We go to the Bible. We learn about that one church. How do we become a member of this one church? We obey the gospel. We do what God tells us to. When we hear, we believe, we confess, we baptized into Christ, and then we live faithful, growing all the time, learning and letting the knowledge of His will mold our lives. That's how we do it. So that's our lesson for this morning. Think about these things and consider them and pray about them and then verify these things. Go to the scriptures and see if these things are so. Verify these things. Because we want to be right. We want to be right. When we stand before God, we want to make sure the things that we're doing is right and proper according to His Word. A lot of people are going to go to their grave thinking, well, according to my heart, I'm going to be right with God. That's not the standard we need to follow, people. The Bible is the standard. God gave us the Bible. Jesus is our benchmark that we need to try and attain to. We need to work on that. Consider those thoughts. We're going to sing an invitation song, give you everybody an opportunity. If you feel you need to make a correction in your life, we're ready to help you. If you think you can do this by going home and getting in a quiet place and taking it up with God, we encourage you to do that as well. But if we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord.